Great singing. Be seated, please. We're going to have a jail report from our jail chaplain, Brother Eddie Frazier.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Well, not a whole lot to report this morning, but to let you know that we have baptized over 400 men so far this year and 39 women. And I just want to give a shout-out or a thanks to Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I just talked to James Bradley. He's the head up over there. They're going to be taking over the corresponding courses for Gatesville, which is about 1,000 correspondents a year. So that take a load off of Leola at Walnut Hill. We're thankful for that. Y'all just keep us in prayer and hope we continue to do the work of the Lord.
Eddie is doing a fine job. He baptized 1,521 last year while he was resting. He's just like all the rest of us. He's a volunteer, part-time volunteer. If ever part-time volunteer on earth would work like Eddie, the kingdom of God would have already conquered the whole world, wouldn't it? We're really proud of you, Eddie. God bless you, brother. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love and thy great mercy and thy great goodness. We thank thee, Father, for this congregation of thy church and the preaching of the cross of Christ that goes out from here. We're thankful, Lord, for our radio ministry. We're so thankful that thousands can come to know thee and hear of thee, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, thy Son. We're thankful for our internet ministry, and we pray that you continue to bless us, Father. Have mercy upon us that cry unto thee as children, Father. Hearken to us. Cast us not from thy presence, but discipline us as children, we pray thee. Father, we're sinners, and we confess that to you. Help us and scourge us and beat us and do everything you need to do to make Christ in us our hope of glory. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to go forward and feed the poor this day. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I have some wonderful announcements for you today. We had over 60,000 hits on our website this month. Praise the Lord. A record month. Nothing like it ever before. Four times. We thought we were setting the world on fire a year ago with 16,000 hits. And 60,000 hits this month. It's unbelievable. It's wonderful. God is alive and working. And good things are happening. Next Sunday is our barbecue picnic. The Grapevine congregation will come and cater a barbecue picnic out here on our parking lot. I'd like to ask that you please park to the side of the building over here in this direction. Those of you that are men can meet me down here next Sunday morning about 8:30 and help me set the tables and the chairs up and so forth. And we look forward to a great time and a great time of fellowship and these good brethren bringing the food next week for the poor and the meek and the downtrodden. We are going to go forward today in a sermon about our standing in Christ. We have been studying the second coming of Christ for several weeks, and now we're going to talk about a term that's found in the Bible, in Christ or in Him. The simple preposition in is in the Greek, ek, and it means that it is a word that governs the noun. So you have to be in Christ for the noun to do you any good. You have to be in Him. There's another Greek word that is eis, E-I-S, and it's how we get into Christ. Now, three times in the New Testament, eis Christ is used, and that is in Galatians 3:27, Romans 10:9 and 10, and Romans 6:3-6. So we will go forward now this morning, beginning in John 3:16, that famous verse that most people don't realize how much is really said in this verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. You see, you have to be in him and believe for this to work for you. Whosoever believeth in him is in him and believes And it's much like that verse, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt, future tense word, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, E-I-S, righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation, E-I-S, salvation. But you see, those people were baptized back in the sixth chapter. Paul is telling them not what you do one time, like when you come down here and make confession when you become a Christian. That's true. You make confession when you become a Christian. But what Paul is saying, the continuous action verb is used there. He's telling you that if you're in Christ and you keep on believing and you keep on confessing, it's continuous action word. It happened yesterday. It is happening today. It will happen tomorrow. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We go now to Romans chapter 3. We begin to see these words used again. Romans chapter 3. The great hinge on the door of the book of Romans, Paul could only see then and now. Prior to chapter 3, verse 21 was all then. We were condemned. We were in the world. We were lost. We had no hope. And now, but now, it's like the hinge on the door, Romans 3, 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All the law and all the prophets gave witness that Christ is the Son of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being, continuous action verb, is happening yesterday, it is happening today, it will happen tomorrow. Being justified, that means reckoned and counted as if righteous, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. My sins are over. My overt sins are over. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to do my best to stop sinning. I've given up alcohol and drugs and stealing and robbing and cheating and lying and all the things that so easily beset us. Our sins are over. When we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're not ever going to goof again. It means that that way of life is over. And if we do goof, we repent immediately. So, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that what? Believeth in Jesus. So, you get in Jesus when you become a Christian, then the conditions are that you continue believing in Jesus, him that believeth in Jesus. Now, chapter 8, verse 1 of the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are which are in Christ Jesus. You can just put a period there in your Bible after that. The rest of that clause is not found in the best manuscripts. It's probably a scribal addition. Although what is said there is true, which who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, that's covered in verse 4. But the fact of the matter is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That means that all of my sins, there's no condemnation for that. God can't even remember them. He says, I will put your sins as far from me as the east is unto the west. Infinite distance. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. So even though my conscience bothers me about the previous life that I lived, God can't even remember it. I can. but he can't remember it. When he sees me, he sees nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when he sees you, he sees nothing but the blood of Jesus. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Every time I read this verse, I think of a dear sister who is shut in, taking care of her bedridden husband, Norman Nimick. She was taught by Foy's daddy, Hewlin Jackson, years ago. She's shut in, taking care of her husband, who's bedridden. And she loves these verses, because these verses tell it all in the Christian life. Sister Norma listens to us on the radio every time we're on the radio, three times on Sunday. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that's kings, princes, and magistrates, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you want the love of God, you're going to have to be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need this standing in Christ. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, so we being many, many different people, or one body, or many different congregations of Christ, or one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That means when you suffer, I should suffer. When you hurt, I should hurt. When I hurt, you should hurt. And I don't wish that on you, because I hurt often. I'm telling you that right now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Would you like to have the wisdom of God? It's only found in Christ. You can only get it from the Scripture. You want the righteousness of God? It's only found in Christ. You can only get it by becoming a Christian. Do you want sanctification? That's holiness, set apart as holiness. How could an evil person like me become holy? Well, only Christ could do that. Only Christ could put his stamp on me. I could never do that. To try to reform myself could never happen. It is a miraculous thing in which God works in the life of every Christian. As your good shepherd, he loves you and shepherds you and takes care of you. He spanks you when you're bad, and he rewards you when you're good. You will prosper in Christ if you're good. Let's jump down to chapter 3, verse 1. In redemption, that means buy back. We've all gone and sold our soul to the devil. It's just like me taking my wedding ring and going over here to the pawn shop and hocking my wedding ring. And now the 30 days are up and the interest is due. Not only is the principal due, the interest is due. The only hope I've got is to pay the interest, and I don't even have the money to do that. Now, have you ever gone to a pawnbroker and the time's up and asked him for more time? They got a marble heart, don't they? They got a marble heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not that way. He has bought us back. He has paid the debt in full with his own precious blood, his perfect sacrifice. He has paid the debt in full. And you know what he's done? He's given me my wedding ring back. Same thing as that. Put it back on my finger and told me, you do right now with it this time. In chapter 3, verse 1, we see that there are people like children in Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. A lot of you are babes in Christ. You've only been baptized the last 2 or 3 years here. A lot of you are babes in Christ, just new children in Christ. That makes you just as good as me, just as good as somebody that's been in the church all their life. There's no difference in the standing there. Now, what would God have you to do as a babe in Christ? Peter says, as newborn babes, seek ye the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So study your Bible. Study God's word. In chapter 4, verse 15 of this same book, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you might read books from Max Cato and all of the others. You might read all kinds of things. You might listen to all kinds of preachers on the internet and on the radio and on the web and on TV. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Most of you I have taught and baptized right here at this church. Most of you in that sense are my children in Christ. And I love y'all. I love y'all. And I thank God that you have come to the Lord. And I thank God that you're such an encouragement to me, that sinners just like me can come and know Him, the one and only true God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you want to be a part of this resurrection of the dead and have eternal life without separation from God, you must be found in Christ on that day. Muhammad won't get it. Buddha won't get it. No other way will get it. Just being in Christ is the only thing that's going to work. In 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 and 21, for all the promises of God in Him are yea. Jesus said, he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So that promise is available to you in Christ, if you're in Christ. Jesus said, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That promise is available in Christ. God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. All those promises are available one place, and that's in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him is the amen. That's a so be it is what that means. Unto the glory of God by us. Let's over in now to chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Boy, we can talk about that, can't we? When I started preaching here, there was 40 people left, and I buried all but 5 or 6 of the 40 now. God's caused us to triumph in Christ, hadn't he? We got the poorest church in town. Our contribution here runs between $500 and $1,000 a week. And we do more with it than most churches who get huge contributions. God can cause you to triumph in Christ if you're really living the life, really walking the walk. God can cause good things to happen. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. No matter what situation you found yourself in, even if you goof and you get in trouble, the minute you repent, God will cause you to triumph in that situation some way. To triumph is to win the victory. Nike, to win the victory. That's what we hope to do, isn't it? To win the victory. Chapter 3, verse 14. Speaking of the Jews, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. I've had scholars tell me that the word Old Testament's not used in the Bible. Well, they're reading a different Bible, aren't they? And look up there, New Testament's used in verse 6. Yes. That same veil is taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away where? In Christ. They just can't see the forest for the tree. They're standing so close to the tree, it's right in front of their nose. They can't see around them that there's a huge forest. Most Jewish folks don't read the Bible. They read the rabbis. They read the Babylonian tabloid. They read those things. And there is a veil on their heart. There is a veil of that they're trying to go about establishing their own righteousness. And they reject the righteousness of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Over in chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Remember last week we studied about that Jesus saying that he who believes in him has changed his country or his place of abode. Not only has he changed his country and his place of abode, he's changed who he is. A wild animal has now become just like a lion. Like a lion has become like a lamb. A wild animal, like a wolf, has now become like a little child. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except thou be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let me tell you something, brethren. God will change your heart and make a new creature out of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the promise. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right. And my life has become new.
Amen.
You know, you can like something. I just love an ice cold Budweiser beer. And I haven't had one in years. Years. I'm free to have one if I wanted one. Why don't I have one? Because I have a new direction in life. I have a new desire in life. I have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't want to practice those things anymore. I want to practice truth and justice and righteousness. To wit, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ. See, it was God who is the Word of God who became flesh and was in Christ. And what was he doing? He was reconciling, making two back into one again, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting, not counting their trespasses unto them. Oh, thank you, God, that you don't count my trespasses anymore.
Right, right.
Thank you, God, that you have forgotten and forgiven my trespasses, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We as ambassadors of Christ are to go and get the world to be reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. That's our work. Verse 21, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. When he hung on that cross, God put upon him the sins of the world, the actual sins of Kelly, the actual rottenness of Kelly, God put upon Christ. And he punished Christ for what I have done.
Amen.
He beat Christ unmercifully for what I have done. For he made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. He was innocent and pure. He knew no sin. That we might be made. See, it's a making process. It's a growing process. That we might be made the righteousness of God. You want to be the righteousness of God, then you're going to have to be in him. In him. Galatians 1:22. Galatians chapter 1, verse 22. Paul said of himself, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which are in Christ. So here we see that little congregations of the church are in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 16, the great Magna Carta, the document of freedom that's found in the New Testament. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, we can never work enough to earn this thing. You can't unbreak a window. You understand? You can take a rock and throw it through this window back here, and I can give you a tube of super glue, and you can work on that window the rest of your life, all the days of your life, and you can never put that window back together again. You cannot unbreak a window. But you can replace that window, can't you? If you've got on a filthy garment, you can take that filthy garment off and you can wash and you can put on a robe of righteousness, can't you? That's the principle that's being taught. Know that a man is not justified, counted as righteous by the works of the law, by deeds that we do of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we that have believed in Christ, so we've got to believe in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Chapter 5, verse 6. We see it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. So you want faith that works by love is what you want in your life because you're in Christ. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Christ was predestined before the foundation of the world to come and live a perfect sinless life, to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise again the third day. If we are Christ and we are in Christ, we share in his predestination in that before God ever said, let there be light, he could look forward in future and see, yeah, there's O'Kelly. Boy, sure enough, he's going to be a rounder. Sure enough, he is. And then a little further on, just a few more years, just past that being a rounder, he's going to be a Christian. And so because he's going to be a Christian, I can love him before he becomes a Christian. Amen. So we're chosen in him according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we could do what? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Work on your holiness. Seek holiness and sanctification without which no man will see the Lord. Amen. We have to become better and we've got to do our own part. God does a big part here, but we've got to do our part. And what does that mean? It means when you're tempted, you need to learn to say no. Amen. And you need to learn to overcome. When you're tempted with a beer, just try saying no once and you've overcome once. Tempted with dope, say no. Say no. Tempted to steal, say no. Don't do it. Verse 7, in whom or in Christ, same thing, we have redemption, that's buyback, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everything that's going to be saved is going to be gathered together in Christ. Amen. Both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom, or in Christ, also, we have obtained an inheritance. We have a promise. We have a promise of everlasting life and great and wonderful gifts to be given us. An inheritance being predestinated, sharing in his predestination, in other words. It's not that God has chosen some people to hell and some people to heaven. It's that you have to make that decision your own self. being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things to the counsel of his own will. So God is sovereign. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just like branding a calf, those of you that's been out in the country, we're branded, we're sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. God's own Spirit comes and dwells in our heart by faith. God used to be in a temple, and instead of dwelling in a temple made with hands, he now dwells in the temple of our bodies. And that Holy Spirit, don't grieve that Spirit by sinning. That's very, very important. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated in the lap of God right now today, if you're in Christ. It's just like a little child. Here's a little child over here sitting in mama's lap. It's just like that. Even though we're down here on earth, spiritually, it's just like God has us seated in his lap today. If this little child had a sticker in his finger, the mama would do nothing but work to get that sticker out of that finger. And it's the same with God. God loves us. And if you've got a thorn in your flesh, a sticker in your finger, you've got a sin in your life you're having trouble with, God will work with you. He'll work with you if you let him. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. We'd encourage you to stay tuned for Brother David Tarbett immediately following this broadcast. That was verse 6, now down to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, he's working on us. Silver, when silver is made, the silversmith has a time there that is very critical. He heats that silver and that silver gets red hot. And if you heat it too much, you ruin it. And if you don't heat it enough, you don't get the impurities out. And you ask any silversmith how he knows when it's heated enough. And you know what they'll tell you? When I can see my face in it. How's God going to know that he's heated you enough, that he's built enough fire under you? When he can see Jesus in you, then he'll know he's heated you enough. Amen. For we are his workmanship. He's working on us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're now to go forward and have good works. Amen. What could get a bank robber to stop doing that and care nothing about money and spend every penny on the poor? What could do that? Just God. Nothing but God. Amen. God can do a work in you, I'm telling you. God can do a work in you, and he will do works in you to get you to do good works. You're to do good works. Amen. You're to have alms for the poor. And do good works. Blessed is he that remembereth the poor. The Lord will be with him in a time of trouble. Amen. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to walk in them. Right. Why are we so blessed here? Because we look after the poor. We'll feed 400 meals here today. We'll feed the buggy people and the street people and the bums that won't sober up and come to church. We'll feed them out the kitchen window. And those who will sober up and want to do better are in here with us right now today. And we're glad to have you. Amen. And so we're to walk, live in these good works. Verse 13. Let's go back and read verse 12 too. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. So Gentiles had no hope. They were strangers from Israel. They knew nothing about the Old Testament law, and they had no hope and were without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, see how important it is to be in Christ? To be in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ. You want the blood of Christ on you? You've got to be in Christ. It's important. Verse 14, for he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Down to verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this church that we have, this church of Christ, is not an accident. It's not a thought in the mind of some man. It is a plan that God had in mind. And it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone in this church. In whom all the building, this new church that's coming together, in whom all the building fitteth frame together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord. So every time a person becomes a Christian, it's just like one more brick in the wall. In whom also you are builded up together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Habitation's where you live. So God comes and lives in you. And how does he do it? Through the Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ. Where's the promise of everlasting life? It's in Christ by the gospel. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities, that's kings, princes, and magistrates, and powers, that's rulers, governors, and other people in authority, judges, in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God is the wisdom of God over and over and over and over again. The manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose, God has one purpose. Notice the article, the. God has one purpose. It is an eternal purpose. It is his manifold wisdom. And what is it? Which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is that purpose? Christ Jesus our Lord. And that everyone should be reconciled to God in him, in Christ. In whom, or in Christ, we have boldness. Don't we now? Don't we have boldness? We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians 1, 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, and the bishops and the deacons. You want to be a saint? Saint means the holy ones. You want to be a saint? Every Christian is a saint. Every real Christian is a saint. They're not some sort of person that the Catholic Church has decided to beautify, as they call it. It's not that. Every Christian is a saint. But you got to be in Christ Jesus to be a saint. Or you're not a Christian, and you're not in Christ, and you're not a saint without it. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So because of Paul's example, other brethren in the Lord. Chapter, verse 26. that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming unto you. So from the heart, rejoicing is found in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, and any bowels of mercy. You want some consolation? It's only found in Christ. Amen. You want some comfort? It's only found in Christ. Amen. You want some mercy? It's only found in Christ. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 5. But let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The divine mind of God is found in Christ Jesus. You will learn to be like Christ and therefore like God. Amen. What is God like? Well, he's just like Jesus. You become just like Jesus, you'll be real close to being like God. Amen. And that's what he wanted in the first place, because he made man and woman in his image, didn't he? Amen. Chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, Jews, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. So if you're in Christ, you can not worry about the deeds of the flesh, works of the law is another way to put that. Verse 9. And to be found in him. Oh man, I want to be found in him on that day that the shout goes forward and the trump and the voice of the archangel. I want to be found in him, and I want you all to be found in him. Amen. When he comes, I want him to find you in him and to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, oh God, I wouldn't even get close to making it with my own righteousness. I can feed a million people and it won't make up for what I've done wrong. You can't earn this deal. It's a free gift. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 14. I press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Where's the high calling of God? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to be involved with the high calling of God, you're going to have to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Colossians 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at close, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, saints are in Christ. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's great a cappella singing on there, free downloads, hundreds and hundreds of gospel sermons and Bible study courses and 1,000 links. Chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. Whom, or Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. How am I going to present you perfect in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're going to be perfect. Amen. You're going to be perfect by the time you die, because he's going to hammer on you. He's going to keep the fire under you. He's going to beat all the impurities out of you. He's going to make you just like Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3. In whom, or in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, you want to be wise? I don't know a wiser man than Geordie Carey. He is one of the wisest men that I know, and he has a third grade education. He is a wise man because he's got it in Christ. Amen. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. when I asked him to read a verse 15 years ago in the first Sunday school class I was teaching here, he said, "I can't read, Brother Kelly." Well, he can read now, I guarantee you. And I'll tell you something else. He knows more about the Bible than all of you, and he probably knows more about it than I do now. God can change you. There's no reason for you to be where you're at. This is a launching platform for you to go where you're going and be all that you can be. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, beholding your order, or good order, in other words, they're doing things right there at close, and the steadfastness, steadfast is unmovable, is what that word steadfast means. If I tell you, get over here, Danny, and kick down that wall. That wall's steadfast. You won't ever kick that wall down. You kick your foot off before you kick that wall down. I want you to be just like that. I want you to be steadfast and unmovable. No matter how much the devil beats on you and kicks on you and whoops on you, don't let him move you. Be steadfast, and he won't move you if you're in Christ. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, live in him. When you catch yourself doing wrong, tell the Lord, "Oops, sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to think that. I didn't mean to do that. I won't look at it no more." Tell him. Confess your sins quick. Repent quickly. If you discipline and judge yourself, God won't have to judge you. Rooted and built up in him. You need to be rooted just like a plant digs a deep root. You need a tap root, rooted and built up in him. Established, man, firm established. Established in the faith. There's only one faith. Established in the faith as you've been taught, and abounding thereof in thanksgiving. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want to know what God's like? He's just like Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him. And you are complete in him. God doesn't require nothing but that you be in him. That makes you complete. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. They might not know it down here on this earth today, but he is the chief King of kings, potentate of all potentates. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Every king on earth, when they die, goes stands before him. In whom, or in Christ, also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh, the circumcision of Christ. Just like there was a circumcision in the Old Testament, in which men remove their foreskin on the eighth day, there is a circumcision in Christ. And what is it? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation. And that word operation there in the Greek is energos, energize, the energy of God. It is who works in baptism. Our Baptist friends accuse us of trying to be saved by works because we believe in baptism for the remission of sins. But who does the work in baptism? This tells you right here in this verse. Who's the working person? It's not the person being baptized. Through the faith of the operation, the work of God. So who works in our baptism? God does. He's got the soap and water. He cleans us up through the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, and having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that law said, "Thou shalt not steal," and I have stolen. But that handwriting and ordinances that was against me, he's blotted that out. And what's he done with it? Ordinances against us that was contrary to us. We are sinners. We goof. And it's contrary to our nature, the law was. and took it out of the way. What did he do with it? Having nailed it to his cross. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've studied this in the second coming of Christ. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those that sleep in Jesus, see, it's important to be in Jesus. This isn't going to work for you if you're not in Jesus. Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, that we that are alive remain to the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent, that means go first, before them that are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead, what? In Christ. You better be in him. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ when? Before the world began, God had this plan. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, how could we list the benefits that I've covered this morning about being in Christ? It covered the full spectrum, didn't it? If you want anything good at all from God, you better be in Christ. Now, how do we get that done? The gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't? Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What scriptures? Well, like Psalms 2, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible teaches that if you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. John 3:16, where we started this study. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, the street person back here, the homeless person from the shelter, whosoever believeth in him should not, doesn't say shall not, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, wouldn't it be a dirty, rotten shame for you to come here today and believe and perish? Amen. See, it doesn't say you shall not perish, it says you should not perish. But if you really believe, you're going to go forward and add some faith to that belief, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. You're going to flee to God with confidence, believing that he can and will save you from the devil, from sin, and your own self. Amen. And the Bible teaches that we need to confess Christ as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt, future tense verb, thou shalt be saved. The Bible teaches we need to repent, for the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And Jesus said, yea, I say unto you, except you all repent, Amen. You shall likewise perish. Every person must repent. It means we're going this direction, serving the devil. We come to a point in our life where we're ready to stop and turn and go the other direction serving God. Amen. Are you ready to repent this morning? And finally, you need to be baptized into Christ. How do you get into Christ? Into Christ, ice Christ. There's just two verses, Galatians 3:27, For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 6. Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into, not unto, but into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into, E-I-S, into his death. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What does God want from you this morning? He wants you to repent of your sins. March right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess him before men. Be baptized into Christ. If you're ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. All you have to do is just march right down here. Just meet me right down here at the front. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing? Life, there's still time. Come now.